Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
What an awesome God we serve. We thank you. We love you, God. We love you, God. Would not have been for you on our side, we don't know where we would be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We love you. I love you, God. I love you, God. Hallelujah. Just use us, oh God, how you want to. Touch and deliver, heal, set free, bless, open doors, God. Close some doors, God. Open windows and pour us our blessings that we don't have room enough to receive. Thank you, God. We love you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome, God. Awesome, God. You're so awesome, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Worship and praise you, God. Awesome, God. Amen. I want to use for a thought, a title, a tag here this morning. Wrestling for a change. Anybody wrestling for a change? A gift or a compliment. You don't know what their intention is. But it's okay because Esau understood and he knew what was going on. He said, now I can't trust Jacob. Even though he sent me all these gifts, I got to still go see what's happening. Because he might be coming to get whatever else I got. He already took my blessing and he already took my birthright. Now what else is he coming to get? I know he got a reputation. I know him better than anybody. He's my twin, the evil twin. Y'all hear me? And Esau says, I got to go see. Even though he give me gifts, I still don't trust him. Because I know that he's very capable of deceiving me and taking what I got. And you think people are just going to forget that you're capable of. I had a fella tell me one day, I told him, I said, man, you rotten. I was just honest with him. I said, you rotten. I said, you did this and you did that. I said, and I watched you tell this guy this. And I said, man, that's wrong. He said, well, God's working on me, but good thing you saw that because you know now that I'm very capable of being good and I'm very capable of being bad. So pray for me, Pastor. And he was honest. He said, but I want to do more good than bad, but I can't stop doing bad yet. He was honest, and I respect that. Now he's a preacher now, but. I just say he went through Bethel and he met God, but he got to come back through and be changed by God. So the crisis is this. The crisis is that he's about to die. He don't know what's going to happen to his family. He think that Esau's going to kill him. Esau don't know what Jacob is going to do. And see, sometime when we don't have communication, we don't know what the other part is up to. And when you ain't talking to the other party and the other party ain't talking to you, guess what? The devil talking to both of you. Especially at home, a husband and wife, you walking in, you all up against the wall because you don't want to speak. You don't want. I ain't talking. You're in the same bed, on the corner of the bed, ain't sleep a wink because you're trying to hold on from falling out the bed, and you don't want to talk. But the devil telling you all kind of stuff. He in your mind telling you, don't look at her. She did that on purpose. Why she left that? He left that on the floor. He did that on purpose. Don't pick that up behind. The devil talking to both of you. Why she sprayed all that stuff knowing my sinus is bad? She just did that on purpose. And the devil is talking to both. And all you got to do to fix that is talk to each other. The problem is we don't want to do that. We know what each other's capable of. Jacob knew that Esau was capable of killing. Esau knew that Jacob was capable of deceiving. And they didn't want to talk out their difference. Communication. That's why we must, the Bible said that if we got a problem with each other, we ought to go to them. If they don't receive us, take somebody else as a witness. If they don't receive that, bring them in front of the church and say, I tried to get it right with them. I tried to do the right thing, but they won't let me. Come on and say amen. This is what God gave us a solution to all these problems, but we won't take God's way. And it's because of the deceit in our heart. Okay, so that was the crisis now. And so here it is, verse 24 says, and Jacob was left alone. Here is the contending. The contending here represents the prayer life of Jacob. He says, and there he wrestled with the man until the breaking of day. Hosea said that Jacob actually was crying and weeping and pleading with God all night. That's how he described it. The book of Psalms 68 says, it says this, is that if we regard iniquity in our heart, that God won't hear our prayer. Amen. So when we say that we are praying and we got this mess in our heart, pray, but God ain't hearing you. Iniquity, that's hidden sin, that's deceit. And so Jacob had this in his heart, and he had not repented for how he had done his brother, how he had been deceitful even to his uncle and things like that, how he had deceived his own father. When you try to deceive the father, guess what? You're going to pay. So he says that he wrestled with a man. He had a contest and a conflict with a man that night. And what that means is that while he was alone, while he was by himself, he had an opportunity to search himself. And when he began to search himself, he realized that the only person that can change the situation was the God that he heard his father and grandfather talk about. And when he began to pray, he began to be in a place of anguish where he was wrestling with the deceiver he was and versus who God wanted him to be. And then he wrestled with this man, and the man here, many theologians believe that this man is representation of Jesus Christ, because you can read down further, and it was the angel of the Lord, amen? And he says that he wrestled with him until the breaking of day. One thing I know about prayer, either prayer will solve your problem or it will strengthen you in the midst of your problem. And I don't understand how come people won't pray, because when you go to pray, the Bible said man ought to always pray and not to what? Faint. We faint too quick. We want to give up too fast. We throw in the towel too easy. And and God is not intending for us to faint and throw in the towel. He intends for us to be strengthened through it all. So when I pray and I come out of prayer, I'm ready for another round. I'm ready for whatever God has in store for me. I know it's not going to always be shiny sunshine days. It's going to be some rain sometime. I know sometimes people are going to lie on me, talk about me, because Jesus said if they do it in the green tree, what do you think they're going to do in the dry? If they lied on me, if they hated me, they're going to hate you too. I wish I had somebody. The servant is not greater than the master. So whatever they did to Jesus, guess what? They're going to do it to you. Y'all don't hear me. If they betray Jesus, you got a friend somewhere that's going to stab you in the back. Maybe they'll stab you in the front so you can see it. Y'all don't hear me in here. You got to understand that some of this is going to happen in your life and you can't get by it. You got to know how to pray. You got to know how to fast, and so that you can stay and you can last through all of this stuff. Come on and say amen now. And so he's contending, not understanding everything, but he knows that I'm with somebody. He knows that I'm with somebody who's stronger than I am. But guess what? I'm not going to let go of this person because something's going on. I feel, even though I'm here wrestling, look at this. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And look, when the angel of the Lord was wrestling with Jacob, he realized that Jacob is not going to stop. He started that night, and then to the breaking of the day, he kept praying. Some of us, we pray 2 minutes a night, and we think God is supposed to just honor that prayer and do everything that we, and our prayer is just a grocery list of stuff that we want. Jacob was asking God to give him a solution to the problem and the crisis that he was facing, to change his condition, whether he changed Esau's heart or whether he was going to let him die. He said, I want to die right. Come on and say amen. We got to understand here what Jacob's situation situation was. And he said, when the angel of the Lord didn't prevail against him, in other words, his way wasn't pushed over on him, and to say, you know what, you just need to leave that alone and go on and die. Jacob said, I ain't going to die in this darkness. I'm not going to die like I am. Look at this. He said that God, the angels touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And I like this part, because when I looked at that, it says as he wrestled, not after he got through. He felt the pain while he was in the conflict. He felt the pain while he was praying. He felt the pain while he was still there with God. And sometimes we can be with God, praying with God, and feel the pain. Anybody in here ever been like that? I feel the pain even though I know God is present. I know something happens. I know I'm having an experience I've never had before, but I still feel the pain. I want you to notice that the pain came from God. We thinking about the people who cause us the pain, but God let the people cause it. Because it put us in a position to pray. And when we prayed, we realized that it was more painful than we thought. Because God, we got God with us, and we're praying and we're wrestling with God for a change. But God is only allowing us to feel the pain of it. Now, what do you do when you feel the pain? What did Jacob do? Keep wrestling. Keep praying, keep contending, keep going to God, seeking him, pressing your way. He said that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek. When I'm in pain, what do? I go back to God and say, God, I know you allowed this pain, but guess what? I'm here for you. I'm here. Whatever you want to do in my life, do it. What did Job say? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Only saying that it's God that's causing the pain because he allowed it. But guess what? I'm still here, God. I ain't going nowhere. I'm holding on to you. Anybody holding on? Yes. Tell somebody, say, hold on.
Hold on.
He says he wrestled with him. Hip out of joint. Something's out of place. Lord have mercy. But I'm still in God's face. It's something that ain't aligned, but I'm still in God's face. My life is broken, out of joint. Situation ain't right, but I'm still here. I ain't letting you go, God. Okay, let me go on. Y'all want this here. It's this for me. It ain't for you. Then. Look at verse 26. He says, and he said, let me go for the day breaking. So you can't see me. I'm here. And we think that God only work in the daytime. He work at night. He work at night. Look at Jacob could honestly say, weeping may endure for a night. He could really say, because he wept all night long. Look at this. He said, let me go for the daybreak. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Jacob said, I ain't letting you go until you bless me. You see, we let go too easy. We let go because it ain't right. People ain't right. Things ain't right. Situation ain't right. Money, funny, change, strange. Husband acting up. Wife acting up. Children acting up. School acting up. The teachers acting up. The supervisor at work acting up. People all around. Everybody's just acting up. And so we just let go. But Jacob said, I ain't going to let go because I know what I'm about to face. If I can face God and wrestle with him all night, I ought to be able to face a man. He said, I know what's going on. I know that the day is coming, but I ain't going to let you go. Anybody shabaking God? Anybody holding on to God? Anybody saying, Lord, I ain't letting you go until you bless me? Jacob, you got to think about this, y'all. Jacob wasn't asking for a financial blessing. He wasn't merely asking for God to help him to get more stuff. And that's what we use our prayer time for, to ask for more stuff. But the Bible said if we seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, Matthew 6:33, that these things shall be added. I don't have to ask for them. He's going to add them anyway. But what I need to do is get my heart right. What I need to do is hold on to God until he bless my heart, until he make a change on the inside. So I'm wrestling for a change. I'm praying for a change. I'm wrestling. I'm contending. I ain't giving up that easy because I need God to change something. Yeah. I woke up and I want something different. I walk during the day and I think about my situation and I want God to change it. And I go to him and I wrestle. He says, let me go. He said, well, I ain't letting you go until you bless me. Imagine two people wrestling. Come here, Ace. Let me use the example. Come here, Ace. Two people wrestling. You got two people wrestling. Let's kind of spar a little bit. You got two people wrestling, right? And one is trying to leave, and the other one won't let him. And as he's trying to leave, he said, okay, I'll tell you what. Hit him in the hollow of his thigh. Because the thigh, I'm through. He hit him in the thigh. Because your thigh is the largest and the strongest muscle in your body. I'm about to go home. And if look at this. See, the crisis, the contending, and the crippling. God knew the strongest point of Jacob's life, and he said, I'm going to hit him where his strength is, where he'll never be this strong again. Y'all don't hear me here. He said, the strongest muscle in the body is that thigh, the biggest muscle, and when he hit it, he knocked it out of joint, and so the tendon and the sinews, they were twisted, and so he was hurting, and so in your strongest point in your life, sometimes God allows you to hurt. He was able to do anything he wanted to do. Look at this. Jacob was a runner. You can't run. You can't run if your thigh out of joint. Oh, your hip out of joint. You can't. Who gonna run with the hip out of joint? Oh, come on and say amen here. God said, I know how to stop this running. You can't run from Esau this time. You gotta face him now. Oh, Lord have mercy. It's too far to run back to Laban's house. Now you gotta go forward because Esau's right around the corner. Oh, I'm about to go. I'm about to close here. I'm about to close. So when he began, look at this. He knocked his thigh, his hip out of joint around the thigh. He hit him, knocked it out of joint, and he couldn't walk right because of his thigh and his hip being out of joint. And he said, let me go unless you bless me, I won't let you go in verse 27. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. He said, look, here's how I'm going to bless you. I'm not going to bless you with material. But I'm going to bless you with a character change. The name change means character change. Most time if you see somebody's name, that means the character of who they are. Right? When you see the word Mephibosheth, for example, it means the destroyer of shame. He was lame on both feet, but he ended up being in the king's house, so he destroyed the shame that he had, right? And so we have to know the name of a person represents the character of the person, right? And so he said, my name is Jacob. In verse 28, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for you are a prince and have power with God and with man. In other words, you have wrestled with God and you prevailed. In other words, God has answered your prayer. God don't have to answer anybody's prayer. I want to show you something here. When you start to read and you understand that God don't have to answer prayer, but because he loves somebody or because he wants to, he answers prayer. So he said, look, Jacob, you was one of those that was a trickster, that was a deceiver, who had no real relationship with me, but because you held on to me and waited, I'm going to bless you. Amen. In other words, he had power. He became a prince in the earth underneath God. So whatever he wanted or whatever he did, he reigned in the land as God would in the earth. Come on and say amen now. And so when we look at this, he said, I'm changing your name. You are no longer Jacob. You're no longer a conniving supplanter. You're no longer a deceiver, but I'm making you just like God in the earth. I'm making you somebody who's known with God, somebody who wrestled with God, somebody who has a relationship with God, somebody who's held on to God and caused God to bless them. I wish I had somebody. And so when we start to look at the change that comes on the inside, the Bible says to us that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Revelation, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Is there anybody in the house that wrestled until you had a change? Something. Look at this, and I love God, and the way God did this, because he didn't just let the change happen in Jacob. He had already let the change happen in Esau. When he left there, he had went and made Esau change his mind about hurting Jacob. Come on and say amen. And so he asked him, Jacob, look at this. How many know that sometimes you got to keep on lingering, keep on asking? And say, Jacob says, if I got this far with God, I need to ask him some more stuff. Because look at this. I've had an experience that blowed my mind. I've had an experience that changed my life. And so since I had an experience, I'm going to see how far I can go. He said, what's your name? He said, I want to get some more revelation of who you are. I wish I had somebody here. When you get in the presence of God, you get hungry for more revelation. You want to know everything about it. You want to ask him this and have him reveal to you that. And so Jacob was saying, look, since you did this for me, I need you to do something else. Let me know what your name is. But guess what? He couldn't tell him his name because it wasn't time for his name to be revealed. It wasn't until Isaiah saw it. I wish I had somebody. And Isaiah said his name shall be called Jesus. He shall be a father, wonderful counselor. I wish I had somebody in the house. And so he said, it ain't time for my name to be revealed. Come on and shout hallelujah. And so he said, why you ask me for my name? And he said, that's all right. I'm going to bless you. Come on and say amen. He blessed him and said, to be continued, Jacob, because I'm coming back through the tribe of Judah and I'll be the line of Judah. Come on and say amen. I'm coming back and save my people from sin, hell, death, and the grave, and I'm coming back to save the world. But right now, you take care of that Esau business. I wish I had somebody. We need to know that God is telling us, I'm taking care of your business now, but later on is some other stuff that I'm going to take care of. But you got to stay with me. Tell somebody, stay with me. You got to keep on walking with your limp. Come on and say amen here. And the Bible says that he called the name of that place Peniel, which means that I've seen God face to face, and I was able to live through it. Come on and shout amen in here. When I start to look at that, he said, I've seen God. Anytime somebody see God, can you see God in me? Can I see God in you? It ought to make some changes happen. Even though I had a problem with you, I see the change that God is doing in your life. So I'm going to respect the change, and I'm going to change how I think about you. I'm going to change how I talk about you. We can't be talking about our brothers and sisters. I don't care how mad you get with them. You need to say, you know what? I'm going to give it to God and let God have his way. The more we talk, the more mess we get ourselves in. The longer our trial will be, the more stuff that we got to go through because we didn't go through it right. If you look at the Bible, in the book of Job, it said Job didn't sin with his lips, but he held his peace. When his friends say, Job, you were wrong, Job said, I don't care what you say. I'm waiting on the Lord, and I want to ask him why. Come on and shout glory and give God some praise. But let me show you something here. He said that I'm walking with this limp. And Jacob rose up in verse number 31, and he halted upon his thigh. What does that mean? That means as Jacob began to walk, he couldn't run. But he had a limp that he had to drag his leg. He didn't have the strength he had before he met God. But I'm reminded of the word. He said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Sometimes God makes you weak because you've been walking too strong. You've been saying, I can handle it myself. I can do it myself. I'm smart enough. I'm wise enough. I'm big and bad enough. I talk enough. I know how to con them enough. I can do enough. And God said, I'm going to fix that. You can't run from this. I know you were strong in that, but I'm changing it around you. Somebody shout glory. But what did God do? He said, Jacob, because you got this limp, you can't make one step without leaning on me. You can't make one move without saying, oh, Lord, help me. Anybody ever had a pain that when you got up, up out the chair. You said, oh Lord, help me to make it. I wish I had somebody. Jacob had to every day be reminded of, I can't make it by myself. I got myself in a mess, but God got me out. And so every time I walk, the walk that I take, every step that I make, God has to be with me. I can't make it all alone. I need my God to walk me down this road. Walk with me, Lord, while I'm on this tedious journey. I need you to walk with me. Somebody say yes. The Bible says that Jacob worshiped God leaning on his staff in his old age. What does that mean? It means from that moment when God changed him, when he got old, he said, I'm still worshiping. I may not be able to walk like I want to walk, but God got me. I may not be able to worship like I want to, but God got me. I may not be able. I wish I had somebody. Yes, God caused the pain, and you feel it when you walk. But guess what? It's God who's helping you down the road. It's God that's making a way for you. God is saying, Jacob, you made it by yourself. You stole the birthright by yourself. You stole the blessings by yourself. You stole your wives and ran by yourself. But now it's time for you to work with me. You can't do this by yourself. I'll come on and say yes. And the Bible says that when he met Esau, if you read chapter 33, the Bible says, Esau said, hey, brother, why you come like this? You gave me all these gifts. I don't want your gifts. I'm blessed enough. You thought you took the blessing, but God blessed me anyhow. I wish I had somebody. Esau grabbed him by the neck and began to hug him and to begin to cry. The compassion of God. Look how God worked it out. God said, I came to reconcile. I came to bring them back together. So when they got God in their business, when somebody decided, I'm going to leave my pride, I'm going to leave my trickery, I'm going to leave my anger and do what God said, they were able to reunite and say, look here, brother, we ain't got to live in the same place, but we're still brothers. Come on and shout glory. Shout hallelujah. And so they went on to live happily ever after. Somebody give God some praise. But I came to ask a question. What are you wrestling for? Or is there anybody here that said, I'm wrestling for a change? I need somebody to touch me. I need somebody to save me. I need somebody to change my heart, because my heart ain't right. Yeah, I get mad and I get angry. I want to hurt somebody, but I gotta let it go. I gotta do the right thing. What is the right thing? It's the God thing. Ain't nobody happy but me. Nettie and Don preach up in here, but I came for a change, and I'm gonna hold on until the Lord changes me. Somebody say yes. Who brought the change? It was Jesus that brought us the change. How did he bring it? He said, you couldn't come to God on your own. You was too much of a trickster. You was too much of a deceiver. But I came to change you, and God changed our name. I know what they used to call you, but guess what God said? You are a saint of God. You've been changed. Anybody heard the song? I know I've been changed. Anybody know they've been changed? Because God done signed my name. Somebody say amen here. Oh, come on and give him praise. But the Bible says that Jesus died so that we can be changed. What did he do? He died on the cross, but he rose from the dead. See, we just gonna die, but we got a change coming about. We're in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed to look like God. Somebody shout glory. Say yes and give God some praise. Won't God do it? I say, won't he do it? Won't he change you? Won't he change your enemies and make them your footstool? Say, won't he do it? Say, won't he? Will he? Won't he? Say yes and give God some praise. Tell your neighbor, I'm wrestling for a change. Look at me now, because when day break, you ain't gonna see the same person. When day break, I'm coming out. When day break, I'm coming out of Israel. I was by myself, and I was still Jacob. Oh, let me tell you about that. That's the part I forgot to tell you. So many people talking about, I got to leave this person, get away from that person. But when Jacob was by himself, he was still Jacob. He was still a trickster. But when God came, he changed his life. Somebody say yes. Come on and give God praise. Tell somebody, say neighbor, say, oh neighbor, I may not know three things. I may not even know two things, but one thing I know,